Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to this week's installment of CFTV Live. We are presented by AgriGold, and today Jeff Woody will be here boasting about Iowa State's upset of Oklahoma.
Much better mood than last week.
He is in a much better mood than last week. That's good news for all of us. Thanks to our sponsor, AgriGold. It's pouring outside of the Cyclone Fanatic office right now. That's not great for harvest.
I'm honestly not sure. I mean, I would assume if you say it's not, then it's not.
It's not.
I'm not that familiar with
the farming process. With the rain right now, it's like the farmers needed the rain a couple months ago. Right now, it's kind of worthless.
Ah.
Put that thing up.
There you go. Want this in my mouth?
CFTV Live, good news. I got the notice last night that we're going to have like our new technology ready to go next week.
For Kansas.
For a recap of the Kansas game.
That should be fun.
Well, hopefully we'll have a lot of great film to break down.
My last name's Woody, I'll do this. So I remember the times that we've played Kansas, there's some comical film, knock on wood, that you get from playing a Kansas team where there's someone that's so badly out of place that you go, I think the freshman team did that one better.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is fun. Like, it's fun to break down on film because I literally, one of the things that I would do when I was watching film, not necessarily of just Kansas, but anybody, is when someone's so ridiculously off that you just watch it back and just giggle the entire time. It's one of my favorite things.
You had a great great new member of the Walk-On Association on Saturday.
Yes, Mr. Kemp. He is, I believe he's been promoted into the cabinet of the Walk-On.
All time.
Players Association.
What is that deal? Is that still a thing?
I believe so. I believe it's
holding
strong.
Did they carry it on?
The WOPA, the Walk-On Players Association, it is respecting walk-on players' rights. I'm kidding. It's just a group of dudes that don't get paid to play football, so just make jokes at each other's expense.
Yeah. What did, let's be honest, nobody saw that coming.
No,
Did you know who Kyle Kemp was?
No, I had seen him in kind of the spring game and scrimmages that we'd go to, but no, I'd never seen him play. And the thing that I loved about it is that, one, he's a redshirt senior, so he played like a senior. He's not spooked by anything, which was really impressive for the fact that, admittedly, Norman is the hardest place in the Big 12 that I've had to play. And the hardest road venue that I've played at are Kinnick because of just the atmosphere and the rivalry atmosphere and because they're sitting on top of you.
Yeah.
That's a hard place to play. Well, Norman's almost exactly the same way, but for a different reason is because the Sooner fans are really smart fans. You could hear a pin drop when Oklahoma's on offense.
Yeah.
And then when you're on offense, you can't hear the quarterback from standing next to you. So they're really smart fans. You can probably watch it. We can see it on this film. Is the sideline is like 9 feet from the back wall. So it's a really hard place to play. It's a hard place to make adjustments. They're really noisy. And what they did is they took a senior, the Iowa State coaching staff, they took a senior and let his calm and his kind of just unflappability and just let him get the ball to playmakers and then let playmakers do what they wanted to do. And they didn't make the game plan too complex.
Yeah.
It was, hey, 32, 19, 5, Butler, all these dudes, these guys are better than Oklahoma's defensive backs. Give them the ball and let them make them do something.
Did you read my column by any chance yesterday?
I didn't.
Okay.
I just don't like you.
No, it's fine.
Anything you put out, I just avoid.
Most people don't. Let me ask you this, though. Sage agreed with me on this, and I wanted to pick your brain on it. I felt like, especially after that Texas game, I feel like Kemp, in not as strong of an arm, not as athletic as Park, big difference there. I feel like he helped Manning become a better play caller.
Right.
Because he had to rely on the run.
Yep.
He didn't abandon Montgomery.
No.
He called easy play. Like, it was a very simple game plan, and you let playmakers make plays.
Exactly. And I think that's what I kind of said is, remember last week we were talking about how it's a really correctable mistake, but with Park being flustered and him being coming back down to earth and Manning not being scared to give the ball to 32, even without perfect looks or getting the ball to playmakers, even if they're not perfect looks, just because at some point they're going to make someone miss and they're going to make a play happen. It doesn't have to be perfect to be good enough. And that's what we were talking about after Texas. And this week, credit to the coaching staff all across the board is that they took that they realize the same thing, is that we need to get the ball to number 32 as fast as we can. We need to get the ball to number 19 as fast as we can. We need to get the ball to number 5 as many times as we can in bad matchups and as quickly as we can do that. And then they did. They didn't just look and say, it's your fault, it's your fault, you need to execute this better. Granted, the players needed to improve, and they did. Yeah. But in getting plays called that put their guys in successful situations, Tom Manning did an excellent job, especially coming off of a situation where it wasn't perfect against Texas, and we all know that. But having or coming out against Oklahoma, I mean, I heard Sage on the radio show you guys did last night, and he was echoing the same thing. It was quick, easy throws, and they were easy reads when they were down the field. Like that throw to Butler, that was that at the end of the half, that was a simple one high safety read. If the safety goes this way, throw it over here. If he goes this way, throw it over here. It's a one-person read. Let the calmness of your quarterback and just the confidence, if you deliver a good ball, our guy's going to come down with it, and he's going to do something with it that's better than what they're going to stop.
We've only seen him one time. Granted, it was – perhaps the largest victory in Iowa State history. How confident, let's just, I don't want to make a commentary on Jacob Park here because we don't really know. Mm-hmm. How confident are you that Iowa State wins in the Big 12 going forward with him? A little tape on him, you know, a little more expectations, a little more, it's just different after your first start. What do you think of this kid going forward?
Kansas, again, knock on wood, you're going to have to take Kansas for what it is that they're not very good. Once you get past that, it's TCU, correct? Texas Tech, excuse me, after that, which they're a lot improved than they were
before.
They
are a much better team.
So that's going to be a much better test because I think the thing that you're going to do to inexperienced quarterbacks, granted he's a redshirt senior, but that was his first start, correct? Even when he was at Oregon State, was his first start?
Jeff, he had not played quarterback competitively since high school.
Outside of the two throws that he had in Northern Iowa?
Correct.
So that what you're going to do with a young or an inexperienced quarterback is what Texas did to Jacob Park, is you're going to throw 15 million looks at him, and you're going to get him off a spot and rush him quickly. And what I'm assuming that once they see the Oklahoma film is that most defenses are going to play up and make and challenge Iowa State to beat them beyond the first level of their defense. So does that mean I think it's not going to work? No, I think he's got a good enough arm and he's accurate enough to make those throws down the field. But I would say let's caution ourselves to expect 350 every game.
Yeah, I would be the same with you.
Because once you've got film on a guy, they're going to go, all right, he doesn't have a cannon for an arm. It's a good arm. It's not a great arm. He's really accurate. He likes to throw the ball quickly, and he likes to throw the ball to short routes. Okay, think of someone like Gary Patterson. Gary Patterson is the Bill Belichick kind of family of college coaches where the one thing you do the best, you're not going to do that. Do anything else.
Is he the best defensive coach in the country?
One of them. It's Nick Saban or him.
He's top five.
And then Urban's probably the best offensive coach.
Yeah,
or Chris Peterson. But either way, is you take the thing out that you like to do the best and see if you can do something else. So with Kyle Kemp liking to throw quick routes quick underneath routes or get the ball to your playmakers very quickly laterally, I would almost guarantee that TCU is going to play really hard, tight zone. They're not going to play man because they're not that dumb to play a man-to-man with Lazard and Butler, but they're going to play a really tight, aggressive zone, and they're going to try and take away short throws and then bring pressure, make Kemp throw it down the field. So I'm going to guess that's what we're going to see. Does that mean he's not going to be able to do it? No, I don't. I just don't know. We haven't seen it yet. So I'm excited because the game plan was such that our skill players are better than your skill players. Stop us. And that's exactly what they did. And they Oklahoma couldn't. And I don't know if we got that final play because you can see it. You look online, the whole Titanic soundtrack thing.
Yeah.
Number 7 for Oklahoma got worked the entire second half, just man-to-man. And it was incredible to see. Iowa State has more talent than Oklahoma. Man for man, I'm better than you. Like, across the board in the skill positions, Oklahoma tried to man up with Iowa State and just got beat like a drum every single time. That final touchdown, number 7 tries to press Allen and almost falls over getting out of his press, and Lazard was wide open. So it was incredible to see the fact that Iowa State finally set the offense up again against good competition like they did against Iowa in kind of the later part of the second half of our dudes are better than your dudes. Stop us.
All right, let's go to the big board because Jared, who's producing the show today, He will be heading up to women's basketball media day here momentarily. We want to be able to have great coverage of that as well. We're kind of in a time crunch because of it. So what are you going to teach me today,
with
Professor?
With my Bob Barker microphone last
your
week.
Bob Barker mic. We need to get like one of the Cyclone Fanatic like deals to wrap around there.
So one of the things that when you like – so I was texting with Jay Jordan, another Cyclone Fanatic contributor. Yeah. I was texting with him in the beginning part of the game, genuinely baffled. How in the hell do you stop Oklahoma? Because of how good that dude is right there.
Yeah.
Number six is, I would say, the most... The most variety of an offense and the hardest to stop of any quarterback in the country. And I would include, you know, the kid at USC, and I would include Trace McSorley, everybody. This is the hardest quarterback to stop because of how many things that he can do and how well he does them. But what they did is that they finally go, after getting a couple touchdown drives, one of the things they realize is that, all right, we can't stop you, but you can. And we're going to give you opportunities, and we're just going to take away the thing that you want to do first and make your second, third, fourth reads. Eventually, you're going to make a mistake. So this is the fumble. And I want to – like,
it's the most important play of the game, by the way.
This is the most important play of the game. And there's an unsung hero in here, and it's Spencer Benton, another walk-on.
Nice.
Walk-on city. Whopper. So Spencer Benton having a – taking away the primary read of just doing a good job of being sound, making the second play. So what Oklahoma's offense does is they always do something – it's called – they have RPOs. Almost everything is an RPO, which is a run-pass option. Is they're going to look at one or two dudes. If you're playing back, we're going to run. If you play up, we're going to throw it right to where you were. And so what they wanted to do is they wanted to turn this into an RPO. So let's – Jared, let's run this forward a little bit. So this is the fumble. It's going to be an inside zone here. We're going to leave this player. We're going to down block everything. And this is going to be a motion to the side. So stop when he gets to about right here. So freeze it right there. So right now, they're leaving two defenders outside of the tackle unblocked. This guy is meant to be the read key. So if this guy plays up the field.
Is that Benton who you're pointing at?
No, Benton's up here.
Okay.
So this is, I'm not sure who this is actually. It might be Jaquan Bailey, whoever this guy is. So this is the read player for the run. So there's two reads on this play. If both of these guys, because they know it's second and goal on the four, what Oklahoma's counting on is an Iowa State team to crash down and stop the run. Because this dude, number nine, is what, 6 foot, 220 as a 18-year-old kid? He's a freak.
Yeah.
But they're counting on what Iowa State to crash down, because this is a defensive end and this is a defensive lineman. They're counting on a crash down. And so once Spencer Benton crashes down, this bubble is going to be open. So you can see Baker's eyes on his first check is going to be right here. His second check is going to be right here. So right away, he's seeing Spencer Benton. If he comes down, he's going to throw a bubble. They're one-on-one, and all five has to do is outrun number 10 to the pylon, and it's going to be a touchdown. What Spencer Benton does is sees that he trusts the fact that I've got my read key here. He's going to take care of anything that's off the edge. I'm going to take – this is my responsibility. I'm going to make sure that Baker Mayfield doesn't have the opportunity to throw the ball forward. Because Baker's reading 1 to 2, this action takes longer. He can't – on a normal zone read, it's just this guy. His eyes go straight here. If he plays down, I keep it. If he plays up, I give the ball to the run. But he's reading twice. So this takes a little bit longer to develop. This kid, 6'2", 220, is an 18-year-old. He doesn't understand that in the live action flow of the game, doesn't understand this read takes longer. So play it a little bit farther. Time, freeze it. Okay, run that back. Run that back again, actually. Okay, so we're going to cross bucking. It's blocking back on this either way. So right now, I think that I should get the ball as a running back, but I think that anytime a zone read happens, is there's hard pressure and there's going to be soft pressure. So a hard pressure is it's kind of a light touch on a stomach, and that the quarterback's going to pull the ball. If it's hard pressure, it's going to be I take the ball. That's you just work that 5,000 times, and you understand how as a running back, if I'm getting the ball or giving the ball. So right now he feels light pressure because Baker is still reading it. So he keeps running like he's not getting the ball. So this read that takes a long time, all of a sudden, Baker wants to give the ball, but the running back's too fast because he doesn't understand the tempo that he should have. All of a sudden, he takes off. Baker's trying to give the ball to him. He's not trying to take it. It ends up on the ground. Iowa State didn't stop Oklahoma. They gave Oklahoma opportunities to beat Oklahoma. They took away the first thing they wanted to do and let stuff like this happen. So Spencer Benton playing this swing pass allowed this fumble to happen. And then that's Joel Lanning just being Superman trying to reach this ball underneath.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's a little bit of the old Wally Burnham philosophy too, right?
So great film study. That's also, I think so. And it's also just John Haycock having been around the block is knowing, all right, they got really good dudes. What are they not good at? And what do they not like to do? They like to have first option, second option. Okay. First option is throw the ball. Second option is give. Third option is keep. So there's three options. I want to introduce as many options to him as I can and overload what their options are and make them uncomfortable with their choices. So it's the same thing they did. We'll get to that, the sack, the Joel Lanning sack. They did the same thing against the Lanning sack. It's just, I'm going to take away your first option and make your second or third the thing you have to get to. So actually, you want to just bring up the Lanning sack now while we're talking defense? So this... Again, I think the more impressive part of this win was the fact that didn't they hold Oklahoma to 7 points in the second half? Seven points in the second half. That is incredible.
Because it was 24-16 at halftime.
And this Oklahoma team coming into this game, having played good opposition, averaged a first down a play. They averaged what? Like 11.4 per play?
Yes.
Throughout the season? That is incredible because this dude is really good. But we're going to take away the things you want to do. Okay, option number one on this play, it's going to be kind of a spot, which Iowa State didn't do a terrific job of taking it away, but he kept an outside arm free. I'll get to that in a second. So Baker's first option on this is going to be a spot route to this side. So he's going to throw it to this guy, or he's going to basically take off, and he has another read on the top. But Baker always likes to roll to his throwing arm. He always likes to roll this way if he's scrambling. So Iowa State, what they want to do is, I don't want you to run this way. I don't want you to throw here. I don't want you to run here. I want you to scramble in this direction and play. We'll take our chances from there. So go ahead and play it. So right now, all we have to do, so freeze. See how this guy's coming to block, and we're going to have one option over here. Okay, so we've got tight press coverage, or not tight press coverage. We've got tight zones on this. If this ball is thrown to this side, which it doesn't, it's not happening, is if this ball were to be thrown to this side, it's going to be a catch tackle. So this side, just take away. Baker doesn't like that side. It's not good coverage. It's not good leverage. What does happen is this is actually not a bad throw, but I think Baker was getting greedy because right now Iowa State had pressed them into a situation that they weren't comfortable in. So it was 31-24. This corner, his main responsibility on this is to keep his outside arm free, force it back to help. If Baker throws this ball, it's going to be outside player, inside player, buddy tackle. It's going to be like a 3-yard gain. Baker is trying to gamble for a bigger play. So play a little farther. Freeze. Check this defensive end on the top side of the field. He is at the level of the quarterback. The only way for Baker to get to his comfortable scrambling once he comes off of this option, because Baker wants a bigger play. So once he comes off this option.
Yeah, so he could have just taken – he should have just taken 17 when he had
He could have taken 17, play for 4 yards. It's first and 10. Second and 6 is a good down. Second and 14 is not a good down. So Baker wanted a bigger play, should have taken this. Iowa State played outside of this corner. They would have played a vice on this. Baker, at this point, generally likes to scramble that way. This defensive end plays at his level high, and this defensive end on this side plays low. So, all right, we don't want you to scramble this way. We want you to scramble this way. Here's the red carpet. Go. What they did, too, is number 7, is Joel Lanning, they played a spy over top of him. So they're forcing Baker into an uncomfortable area that he doesn't like. There's not a lot of areas of the field that Baker Mayfield doesn't like. But this is one of them, which he's less comfortable in. They're forcing him to this side, and then they're going to put a clock on him by putting a spy here. So they're going to say, you're going to go to an area of the field that you don't like, and you're going to have to do something fast. So they force Baker to his left, and they've got Joel, who's spying the entire time. Run it back, now that we're talking about Joel. So this is a true quarterback spy. When you say spy, Joel Lanning, if you watch wherever Baker's shadow is, that's where Joel Lanning is too. So go ahead and hit play. So Joel is sitting right over top of the quarterback. He doesn't like this throw. They also, I think this might have been an and go they're trying to hit, and our safety played over top of it, so it takes away that for another read. But they force Baker to his right. Joel plays pretty much right over the top of him, no matter where he's going. Now that he's in, go ahead and play it a little farther. Now that he's in an uncomfortable area of the field, he's going to try and do something. Because Baker tries to make a play, all of a sudden, we force you to an uncomfortable area. We've taken away your first and second option, make your third option beat you, and we're going to force your time crunch. So that's just Iowa State being more disciplined and forcing Oklahoma into mistakes. Was this necessarily a great play by Iowa State's defense? It wasn't. It wasn't exemplary. He still has like 5-6 seconds to throw, but it's forcing him off of his first and second options into his third, fourth, fifth options of, yeah, he's a gunslinger, but he doesn't like to gunsling this way.
It's making a superior athlete it's making him think more.
Yes.
Right?
It's taking
– On the fly.
It's taking his comfort level and doing something he doesn't like to do, which, again, that is incredible to hold Oklahoma to 7 points. It's just – all right. That's sort of – we were talking off air. It's sort of like Gary Patterson. Like Gary Patterson does – or it might have been on air too.
Yeah, it was on air.
So Gary Patterson does the thing of, I'm going to take away your first option. I'm going to take away your second option. Beat me with your third. And that's the kind of stuff that they did here.
The biggest fan complaint I think I saw specifically in the first half on Saturday, fans get furious when Iowa State only brings three. But it was very –
strategic.
Very strategic. Mm-hmm. So explain to a fan who was upset about that, specifically early on in the football game, the mindset of John Heacock on Saturday.
So if you're going to bring – go ahead and run that back and just give me a full field view, just for the sake of having a full field view. So right now, if you've got three – if you're bringing three, it means you've got eight in coverage. The more people you bring – the farther this defense creeps down and the wider these gaps get. So right now it looks like they're playing, three deep, five under? So we got one, two, three, four, five. These guys are going to cover the interior part. These three are going to take anything deep. So right now you've got essentially a third of the field for any deep receivers and then 20% of the field all the way across with these guys. That closes down any passing window. All of a sudden, if I take any one of these guys and put them into the rush, that takes the width that these guys have to carry open. That also spaces them farther apart. Baker Mayfield is literally, not in any like, not white girl literally, literally the most accurate quarterback in the history of college football. If you give him more space, he's going to find a window to throw through. So if you're trying to put them in a pressure situation, like I was saying, if you're going to rush three, the bad way to rush three is if you don't have guys that understand where they have to be and what exit route they're going to try and allow the quarterback to have. If they understand the exit route they're trying to have, which is this way, force him to the field, then you're if guys don't know where to rush, you're in a bad situation, and these guys just have to stay here forever. If you know where you're trying to push the quarterback to, you're going to push him to an uncomfortable spot and then let somebody coming off of a blitz get there. Now, if you have a guy that can just beat him, you know, you got J.J. Watt as one of the defensive ends, rush one and just let him go get the quarterback. But a lot of times what they're going to do with a three-man rush is force him somewhere he doesn't want to be, is make him uncomfortable and keep everything tight, keep all the windows small so he doesn't have a lot of space to work something into once he does decide that he has to scramble.
Good stuff. Yeah, I thought it was fascinating, Jeff, during that game. So I had fans tweeting at me so upset with the defensive game plan. And this is 14-0. Mm-hmm. And then I also – I'm seeing these national football writers going, man, Iowa State's playing great defense. Mayfield's just phenomenal today.
He's just that good. I mean, Baker Mayfield he's a Heisman contender for a reason. The dude still accounted for four touchdowns, right? He had one rushing and three throwing. He still accounted for four touchdowns and over 300 yards passing, plus how many, 40 yards rushing? That's still a hell of a day. I mean, that guy is really, really good. What won it is making everybody else make mistakes, is making him uncomfortable and making him make not perfect decisions and then having everyone else have to pick up the slack, and Baker just can't do it all by himself.
I also think, too, that it's gone under-talked about that Willie Harvey didn't play.
Yeah.
Arguably the best player in Iowa State's defense.
Arguably,
Arguably. You could have a couple other guys in the conversation, but he's right there.
Right, he absolutely is. And that was honestly the thing that I was just about as scared of. And between Lanning and Spears, those two picked up the slack in getting to every single football that needed to get gotten to.
You know who I thought was a game changer on Saturday was DeAndre Payne, too. The difference in that defense when he's there on the other side of PV compared to when he's not.
So what happens is, let's play this just for a sec. And I do think this was an and-go, but either way, he's collisioning the guy. So freeze. So right now, if this were to be – this legitimately is an and-go, so he's trying – to release outside. We've got a deep safety underneath it. Anyway, so if this were to be a bubble play, what happened a lot of times is you saw, number one, making plays at the line of scrimmage or forcing them to cut back into the rest of his health. So a good corner understands where his leverage is and what his job is. His job isn't to make every single tackle. His job is to say, nope, you stop here, go that way. And by the time he sets an edge, then that moves the sideline from here to here, and it forces everyone to play inside of 30 yards instead of saying inside of 51 and a half. And if you can set a hard edge like number one did, is you can set a hard edge that forces everything to stay inside of you. It's damn near impossible to get this, to get any type of outside offense if this guy knows what he's doing.
Good stuff. What else do you have for us here? Because Jared's got to get rolling here pretty soon. The Women's Basketball Media Day, they moved it up on us this year. It starts at 12 this year.
They wanted the more winter weather.
Yeah, and they're definitely getting that today.
It's like a Seattle January day.
It's something else.
42 and rainy.
Gross.
Beautiful.
Absolutely disgusting. All right, what do we have here?
Let's go to the Trevor touchdown first, just because that was...
This was all Lazard, right?
This was Lazard, and Trevor Ryan being one of the fastest dudes in the conference.
Correct, yeah.
That too. But number five, just... Can I say that? He just bitched a dude.
Yeah,
he just,
that's fine.
He made a guy.
Yeah, we can make it. We can make an exception for this.
This is Allen being better than someone and OU being so frustrated that Iowa State, of all people, is making them look stupid. Okay, so what this is really just a simple play, is we're going to get Trevor Ryan. It's going to be some type of swing route. He's right here. It's going to be a swing route to the outside. Number five is going to be up on the corner blocking. Okay, go ahead and play this real quick and freeze. Okay, so... There's enough of a fake. Actually, run that back. Number 19, he's playing in space. This guy's not a great – this is a pretty good look because we have leverage. Whenever you're trying to throw any type of sideline quick game, like a spot, like where this guy's just turning back around going like this and you're throwing to him, or a bubble, is you're looking at leverage, is do we have our guys outside of their guys? So right now, both of our guys, it's basically two on one. This guy has to play up in space because he's playing, again, inside of leverage, and this guy would have to play out. So right now we've got leverage for a bubble. Sweet. The other thing that this does is number 32 is a dude. So yeah. This guy has to honor any, even just a flash fake, anything down when there's some type of run action in the backfield, this guy has to honor it because number 32 is such a player.
Same conversation as last week when you were so upset that he only got 9 carries.
Correct.
Yeah.
Even if it's not working, it sets up stuff like this. So
correct.
It's just a quick flash fake. There's no intention of even having a full run fake. These guys are pass setting. There's no run fake on the offensive line. All it is we're going to throw it, and it's just a quick flash fake. All that, when I mean flash fake, it's quarterback goes boom, and I'm right back up. I'm not riding this.
Hesitation by Kemp on this throw.
Nope, it's immediate catch, flash fake, throw it to number 19. So play it, and again, watch number 19 bite, freeze. So now from here, this is trying to go inside out. Remember when we were talking that last play against Baker and what DeAndre Payne did? Granted, the guy was trying to release outside, he just collisioned him, but trying to keep a corners with his outside arm free. So what happened is Allen Lazard wants to get this guy's outside. He wants to gain the outside leverage. He wants to pin this guy inside and let Trevor have the sideline to run with. This guy has to fight to get here, because what this happens is if this guy gets outside, this, it becomes, again, like we talked about, that vice tackle. It's just this guy forces Trevor. It moves the sideline from here to here, and it forces Trevor to cut back underneath, and there's a one-on-one tackle. Watch this play a little bit farther and freeze. This is kicking this dude's ass. So right now, his hands are inside, his feet are moving, he's already got leverage. Trevor is just faster than that guy. So right now, Allen is whooping this dude's ass. Play it a little farther. And freeze. Look at that.
Yep.
Sideline, full leverage. Trevor just outran that guy.
Yep.
At this point, Allen Lazard whooped that dude's ass. Mm-hmm. That's nothing short of, I'm better than you, I'm going to kick your ass. Done. Plain and simple.
He kicked his ass.
He did. And now, watch this a little bit. This is frustration. This is probably, I mean, outside of the touchdown, probably my favorite part as a former offensive player. Watch the rest of the play and watch number five get hit. So play and boom, freeze. Run that back a little bit, actually. Run that back a little bit. This guy... still involved in the play, not getting blocked. That's the player that Allen was just blocking. This guy's main job at this point, take a pursuit angle, force 19 out of bounds. What does he do instead? Play it. He tries to level Allen Lazard. He's back here right now.
Yeah.
He took himself out of the play because he's so frustrated that Iowa State is kicking their asses. This is pure frustration. That is a kid. That's a kid being an idiot. So if he has any type of pursuit angle, maybe he forces this guy to take a higher angle because it prevents against a cutback, and it forces Trevor Ryan out of bounds, 20-yard gain. Wow. What this instead turns into is a 51-yard touchdown because this guy is faster than these guys. That is pure frustration because this dude kicked that guy's ass and had been kicking that guy's ass the rest of the game.
Yeah, and that's one of those things, Jeff, that no dude like me at home would ever pick up on.
That was, and honestly,
I would have never picked up on that guy going after Lazard like that. Because I'm watching
out of the
ball
play.
At this point.
He's taking himself out of the play. And the fun, and again, I guarantee you, is if this is me, and if I'm Allen, which he's a much, much better blocker and player than I ever was. But if it's me, it happened occasionally where I would kick someone's ass bad enough that he would start like pushing me out of bounds.
Yeah.
You just go like this. Thank you.
Yeah.
Touchdown.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You're an idiot. I'm just taking, you're taking yourself out of, you're doing my job for you.
That's good.
The white dude from Ida Grove?
Yeah.
We'll call it as it is. They're underestimating Iowa State being a white dude from Ida Grove. Also, these guys are fast. That dude's an anchor on the track team. Yeah. Trevor Ryan's just really, really fast.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that he ran track at UNI and
he's
transferred to Iowa State.
He's legitimately a member of the Iowa State sprinting team. That dude is fast.
So former walk-on.
Go ahead and play it. So this guy's taking a pursuit angle. Everything ends up being a banana from the back. I guarantee you number seven is probably a 4-4, 4-5 guy.
You've highlighted three former walk-ons today, Jeff. In Kemp and Spencer Benton and now Trevor Ryan. Look at you.
Whoop it. It's
big-time day for the walk-ons.
Just grinders.
All right, we got time for one more, and then I got to get Jared up to Ames.
Let's go with what do we got here? This the Murdoch touchdown? Okay, let's do this again. Now, this is, again, our dudes being better than your – like, your secondary doesn't want to deal with our physicality. So right now, Iowa State is still trying to scrap their way back in the game. They just got a field goal, I believe, on their first drive of the second half, correct?
Yes.
And this is the second drive of the second half. So they had started to claw their way back into it. They got a stop. They got the ball back. So right now, it's second and six. It's a normal down and distance situation. It's outside of the red zone. There's nothing that's going to force the defense to play anything different. So play this a little bit farther and watch number eight. We'll watch this all the way through. So watch number eight. That's chopping a tree down in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Run that back a little bit.
Eight is Deshante Jones.
Watch him get up. That's Deshante Jones. Watch this
dude
get up.
Wow.
Oh, God. He's doing the old man with a hip. So run that back a little bit farther. So they even highlighted the Deshante Jones. That's a beautiful cut block. But the other thing that I like about this is run it all the way back to the start.
Boy, it looks like Butler's almost getting away with a hold.
Not necessarily. His hand is still inside. If his left hand was still on, it would have been called a hold, but it was his right hand. I've essentially turned this into like a box out in basketball.
Oh, okay.
So, it's a little bit of a hold, but there's holding on every play.
Yeah, no,
run this back to the start. So one of the things that, again, Kemp did really well is got the ball out of his hands quickly. This is one of those things where it's a beautiful play call. And it, like, as I'm sure Manning called a play, he saw this guy doing what he was doing, and he goes, yes, 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 because it ends up being exactly in the right thing. So remember when we talked about RPOs on Oklahoma's side where if you're gonna play up, we're going to throw right behind you? This is exactly what this play wanted to do, and Oklahoma ran right into it. So call it game planning, and they knew they wanted to blitz in this kind of down and distance situation. Is they're bringing this number two player down over the top, and they're having this guy spin up over here. So what that does is this creates this entire area of the field. If you draw a circle from Butler to the corner, this entire area of the field is unoccupied by Sooner defenders. So play it, and I'll tell you to freeze in a second, and freeze. So now, there is literally two for two. And we've got Marchie Murdoch getting the ball. So this is 1-2-3 on 1-2. Can I outrun the rest of this field because of them taking themselves out of the play with a blitz? So the only thing preventing this from being a touchdown is if either one of these two guys beats their block.
Good play call at a good time.
It's a perfect timed play call. And again, whether that's intentional and they knew it was a blitz, or they just got like...
Sometimes you get lucky.
We're going to call this play, and Oklahoma just managed to run the worst possible play call towards it. At this point, this guy has to block this guy. That guy has to block this guy. And if that happens, Murdoch has an easy touchdown. So then you watch Deshante Jones running straight up the field, getting just, I mean, you could put that on a highlight tape of a cut block because this guy doesn't expect to have to deal with that straight or all the way down the field. And then Butler just getting enough of that guy that Murdoch just lets his speed take advantage. Again, this was our dudes are better than your dudes. And how crazy is that, that you're saying that against the Oklahoma Sooners, that our players are better than your players and we know it. If there's two on two, we're taking that every time. So it was really well called, because instantly Kemp doesn't hesitate, knows that my advantage is there. There's nothing I can do by holding to this ball. The faster I get this ball out of my hands, the better the play is. So instantly he comes off of whatever flash fake he was giving Montgomery and just instantly throws the ball to Murdoch and lets his playmakers do this plays. So this was, to me, it was so well executed. It was so simple. It's just, our guys are better than yours.
Good stuff.
Deal with it.
Jeff, thanks, man. We appreciate it. I hate to cut it off.
This is much more fun after a win.
It sure is. Hopefully we'll get another one. It's 21-point favorites over the Kansas Jayhawks on Saturday. But check out the site. We'll have a lot more coverage of football, obviously, today. And then Women's Basketball Media Day is today. We'll go up and support Bill Finley's program. I want to thank our friends at AgriGold for sponsoring today's CFTV Live with Jeff Woody. Again, next week, we're excited. We got the new technology. It's ready to go. So that'll look awesome. And then hopefully we can have like a huge like bowl game preview extravaganza.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
Yeah, later on in December. Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it, man. Jeff Woody, I'm Chris Williams. Thanks to Jared Stansbury for producing today's program. We'll see you guys next week.